Coming up next, Monkey See, Monkey Goo Goo. When you see a baby lying in a crib, the response is almost instinctual. You'll immediately try to talk to it. But your voice gets higher. The words get simpler, often turning to nonsense. Hi, baby. Goo, goo, goo. One look at a baby and even the toughest cynic can be turned into a babbling fool. Well, according to Dr. Jessica Whittem, humans aren't the only species to talk baby talk. She's a postdoctoral fellow at the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago, and she's discovered that rhesus macaques also babble at babies, suggesting that baby talk may go far deeper than you might think. Dr. Whittem, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into your work, remind me a little bit about macaques. What type of monkey are they?
These are old-world monkey, pretty common in laboratory settings, actually, and you normally would find them in Asia, but the group that I worked with is actually located on an island off the southeast coast of Puerto Rico.
How big are they?
They're a medium-sized monkey. If you can picture a baboon, they're actually cousins of the baboon and look pretty similar to baboon.
Do they have tails?
Yes, they do.
Well, what got you interested in looking at whether macaques use baby talk?
Well, we knew that they were producing these vocalizations, and it's mostly the adult females that do produce these baby talk vocalizations, and we just wanted to learn more about who these vocalizations were being directed at and in what context they were being used.
Now, when you say vocalizations, what do you mean?
Well, there were two that we were interested in. The grunt vocalization sounds something like this. Whereas the gurney is very unique, doesn't sound like any other sound in their vocal repertoire, and is much more squeaky and high-pitched and melodic and sounds more like this. Not that I can do it justice, really.
But it is definitely a high-pitched thing, the kind of thing you do to a baby.
Right, right. Very different than the grunt.
Right. How did you know that these grunts and gurneys, as you say, were the things to look for communication with infants?
Well, rhesus macaques have been widely studied, so you know, there was a general understanding that they were used in interactions with mothers and their infants. The question was, who were the calls being directed at specifically? So until the point where I jumped in, there was kind of an assumption that the calls were being directed at the mothers and that they may have carried some specific message, some specific information.
Well, what was the setup for your study?
I actually focally observed adult females in the group. There were 19 adult females, and focally observing means that I would follow around each female 40 minutes at a time and would observe everything that female did during that 40 minutes and every interaction that she was involved in, whether it was with babies or males or the mothers of the babies.
Was this in a laboratory or in the wild?
No, this is a free-ranging population. So there are about 850 monkeys on this island, and although they are provisioned, they do form natural social groups.
So what did you find?
I found that actually these vocalizations are directed at the infants. So if an infant, and these are not the offspring of the female that's calling. So if an infant is moving about independently or maybe is throwing a temper tantrum, making or breaking contact with its mom, this is all very exciting to all surrounding females. And adult females in the group watching this will stare intently at these infants and begin wagging those tails that you talked about and excitedly produce long bouts of these grunts and gurneys.
So it was other females, not the infant's own mother, that was doing this?
Right. They do not produce these calls to their own infants.
Wow. Why don't you think the mothers do it to their own?
Well, I think there's definitely some novelty effect here, so that females are aroused by the infants of others, maybe the infants of higher-ranking individuals or the infants of females who are not related to them or not closely related to them. So these are infants that they may not see on a regular basis, so therefore they're more exciting to the female.
What effect did this have on the infants when the females were doing these calls?
Well, what we found was oftentimes the females are doing these calls from a distance. So just watching the infant, just observing the infant can be enough to set them off. And they'll just go on sometimes for several minutes. But sometimes the infants do respond to these calls, will orient towards the caller, and some seem stimulated. So we'd actually like to get more information about the responses from the infants because, as I mentioned, we were mostly focusing on the females producing the calls.
What do you think the females were saying?
Well, that's actually an important question. It doesn't seem that there's any specific message being encoded here. There's no specific information in the call. It's more that the acoustic structure of the calls may be what's eliciting the attention of the infant. So just the properties, the squeakiness, the high-pitched nature of the call may be appealing to the infant.
If there's no information, why bother calling?
Well, it could be just that the sound of the call itself can directly influence the infant. So it could just be, you know, catch their attention or maybe change the emotional state of the infant. Just like if I screamed right now, you might jump up. It would definitely catch your attention. So it could just be that the acoustic properties are enough to elicit the attention of the infant and facilitate further interactions.
Well, how then do you think this relates to human baby talk?
Well, my conservative interpretation is that just like human baby talk may be adaptively designed to elicit the attention of infants, it may be that these gurneys especially are adaptively designed to attract the attention of the monkey infants.
Well, do you think there's any significance here to the parallel in the fact that both in humans and in these monkeys, the baby communication involves a high-frequency sound, and what you're saying is apparently just nonsense?
Right. It's that that the nonsense and these sounds could have been designed because they're attractive to the infant. So they've been selected for because the infants are attracted to these sorts of sounds. It just appeals to their auditory system.
So we're kind of tuned to them, in other words.
Right.
So what went through your mind when you saw this type of communication in monkeys?
It was actually very surprising because I was there for almost a full month before the infants were born for 2 years in a row, before the birth season started. And I was wondering if I was ever going to hear a gurney. I could hear grunts. They're used in a wider variety of contexts. But finally, once the first or second baby started popping out, it was just an explosion of these grunts and gurneys, and especially the gurneys. So it was overwhelming, and I was definitely glad that I had the video camera to assist with data collection.
Amazing. Dr. Whittem, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Jessica Whittem is a postdoctoral fellow at the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago.